I told you that on this last session, I wanted to tell you about what's coming up for women's ministry. And so that's my job tonight, and this is the shift we want to take. Did any of you come to the conference She Presses On, where Ann Graham Lotz was here? And if you remember, that's great. If not, but at that conference, for something inside of me, it was a spiritual pivot. A holy passion, a divine calling, a heavenly burden was laid on me for ladies of other generations coming up behind us. If you guys remember, toward the end of the session, the very last one, I think it was up here waving a scarf like a flag, and a lot of us fell on our knees. We were weeping, and we were saying, "Not on my watch, God. Not while I'm here am I going to let that generation fall away. I want them to have everything we've had in Christ and more. I hope y'all get more of whatever Jesus has to give." We declare that, like it or not, we are in a war. And sadly, the casualties are your daughters, your granddaughters, your nieces, your sisters, and I see them falling by the wayside. Feminism has taken a twisted root inside a lot of women coming off campuses. Abortions are rampant, and it is destroying, shattering hearts. Gay rights is causing a crisis of gender identity, and my heart breaks for girls who can barely look you in the eye because all they want to do is look what in their hand. I worry that marriage has become mundane, that I fear the family has become fractured to the point that it's beyond repair, and I hurt for women who don't know their true worth in Christ. Satan's on the prowl. He really is. And it's time for us to raise up our banners, to sound the alarm, and I want to charge into enemy territory to release the captives that are being held by the enemy. Y'all want to do this? You want to march a little bit? Do you know what? The enemy is on prowl in our homes. I weep because some of the ladies up there have been so faithful over the years with us, and I know their daughters are sideways. I know that there are people that our heart's desire is for the prodigals. You know what? I think that G.I. Jane depicts a female Christian better than Cinderella. Frankly, I'm kind of sick of princesses. You know, it's really nice if you want to be a diva, but I'm over it because I want the diva to get up and to do some things. I think of J.L., who took a tent peg and hammered it through Sisera's head. And I'm ready to put some tent pegs through some cultural problems that we face. And then Deborah chased Sisera's army until they were completely defeated. Paul said that we need to fight the good fight, to put on the armor of God, to wield the sword of the Spirit. And you know what Revelation tells us? That we, the bride of Christ, are going to return with Jesus on white steeds, conquering in Jesus' name. It is time for us to cowgirl up. That's all I know, that we need to be ready. And I believe this switch of she to sheology is the answer of so many prayers that we prayed nearly a decade ago. But we may have to do some things differently. We need to bridge the gap between the generational divide. We will never depart from God's word, but we may deliver it in a different package. The message doesn't change, but the methods might change. And I think women of all ages, all ethnicities, all social statuses, all backgrounds need to be involved. You think that includes you? Do you think you need to be in this to win it? Absolutely. I am ready for this prophecy to be fulfilled. You might mark this down, pray this, put it on your mirrors, whatever it is. Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I'm hungry for it. Are you hungry for it? I'm ready for God to pour out his spirit in ways that I've seen in the past and I want to see again. Now, lately, I've been chatting with a lot of my friends, some silver-haired saints, if you guys remember Nancy Galligan and Carmen Camino, and I've been meeting with some of the Spectrum gals, the really young gals that are coming out of high school and college, and the conversation has been so rich and stimulating. And in that conversation came this idea to my head of sheology, and then I tagged it, the art of being female. It was just this concept that came to my head, and I'd start talking to people about it. If theology studies God and geology studies rocks, maybe sheology is the study of a virtuous woman found in the Bible and highlighted in Proverbs 31. And so we've done some deconstructing and reconstructing of the Proverbs 31 woman and realized women today are a lot more like her than we thought. For instance, she plants a garden could mean that she's organic or paleo, or she shops at Trader Joe's. Maybe when it says that she strengthens her hands, she's doing spin class or Pilates, or I don't know, some of that, you know, stuff, planking. She's planking. Why not? And then also, when it says that she brings her food from afar, does that mean it's Uber Eats? Or did she Pinterest some recipes that are kind of indigenous recipes and she's trying out new spices? What does it mean? All I know is we are a lot more like the Proverbs 31 woman than we'd like to think. And most of us are terrified of her. If your husband goes, honey, let's read Proverbs 31, you're like, ah. But you know what? You're so much like her. And I think it's time to not be afraid of her. And that we would express her more and more. Yes, ma'am. You applauded up over there. So working with this group of ladies, we started working on some terminology. And we just started playing with things. And so we wrote down, sheology is a movement of women who are rooted in God's word and cultivated in contemporary culture. We crave an encounter with the living God that ignites a holy passion to transform everything. We encourage women to occupy their calling at home, in the workplace, in politics, or the church, on college campuses or Wall Street. Every sphere of influence God opens before them. Every woman is designed with a destiny and more valuable than her sum total. This will be hosted by us, and a community is an extension of what Jesus is doing here at Calvary Church Albuquerque. Sheology will meet throughout the year with quarterly sessions that teach biblical truth relevant to current events, celebrates womanhood annually at our spring gathering, and welcome the coming of our Savior at the winter gala. Sheology is the art of being female. And so those were the words we started playing with, and I was writing them in my journal one day. And it's like, Lord, what are these thoughts you're giving me? What are these conversations that are happening? So I was just kind of saying, what? You know, like, is this a book? Is this a podcast? Is this me personally? Or maybe is this something you'd like to do with all the women? Maybe you want to shift, a access change, a paradigm shift in She Ministries. And then I went, what if I'm not up to this? Do I need to go back to college? Do I need to take a class? Should I be reading books? Are there counselors I should be speaking to? Because it sounded so big and daunting. So I was writing this in my journal. This is what I do. So you know my journal's like crazy time. And you just pour it all out. And then I had to leave because there was a visiting pastor's wife in town who wrestles with this very same thing. And I got in the car to go meet her, and a text comes on my phone. And you all, this text almost pulled my car over to the side. The text was from a friend that I see maybe once every other year. I will go before you. I will go before you. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord and I call you by name. That was a yes and amen from the Lord to me. And he said, go, I'm before you. And even if you don't know it, I'll show you the hidden treasures, the secret things. So eventually, as this started percolating in my head, it made me realize that it was a bigger paradigm shift than I thought. So this is the end of She Ministries as we know it. There will no longer be She Ministries in the morning, because a lot of the women we want to reach come in the evening. Now, you guys, I've done this for 30 years. This has been 30 years of my life that have been wondrous and wacky and sweet and sour and awesome and arduous. And I realize that it's time to move on. These have been the very best years of my life, and it's hard to let go. Trust me, Skip has seen me crying a lot. And before I move forward, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all the women who have made this possible. I'm not she. Just like Christy Schneider, who you don't know, that was one of my first secretaries, Merldeen Sanchez, who started the whole idea of small groups, Penny Rose, who co-authored work, Carmen Camino, who used to teach, Angela DePrima, who used to do worship, Christy Willis, who's done almost everything there is to do in the women's ministry. They are she. Together we are she. She and Sheology is a community, a collective of women who God chooses to do mighty things in and through. Do you want God to do mighty things in you and through you? That's what she is. And it's time to press on. So I looked back at my message, pressing on. And I thought, Lord, what were the nuggets that you were speaking to my heart? And I want to tell you that pressing on is more than a creed. It's a high call. And I'm challenging you to this call. And it's found in Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if that doesn't make you want to put on your track shoes and go, I don't know what will. Because Jesus is speaking to Paul in this passage. And there's three things that we can pick up from that. We need to have a resolute evaluation of our lives to know if it's time to press on. Number two, you have to radically eliminate some things to press on. You have to lay aside weight and sins and things that would hinder you from running this race. And then finally, we need to have a relentless elevation, pressing onward to the upward call of Christ Jesus. Amen. So, a resolute evaluation, not that I have attained or am already perfected, but I want to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. It sounds like Paul has some dissatisfaction in his life. He's going, I haven't quite made it. I haven't quite got it. Paul, I don't believe, is disappointed with Christ, because he's just told us all that he would sacrifice for the knowledge of the Holy One. What I believe he's disappointed with is his Christian life. Get this, ladies. Paul the apostle was not satisfied with his Christian life when he wrote this. Warren Wiersbe said, "A sanctified dissatisfaction is the first essential to progress in the Christian faith." Are you satisfied? Are you where you want to be? Are you like Dunzo? Like, this is it. I'm perfected. I'm mature. I got it. You know what I mean? I can just ease on into heaven from here. Paul was not satisfied. You know what? It's good to have dissatisfaction with old wineskins. Old wineskins may be good, but a friend challenged me to think about a Bible study I would want to attend if I was a young woman. And you know what? It looks different. If we're going to reach millennials, it will take new wine. And for new wine of the Spirit, you need new wine skins, or it will break them. So here are some things that will be different. We won't be meeting on Tuesday mornings because so many of the women we want to reach work like you. Or they're young ladies in college. Or they have other things going on, so we're going to have to meet them where they come and seek integration. Number two, we won't be doing the homework anymore. And I wrote it. For 13 years, we've been doing this homework. Well, 13 books I've written. And you guys have been so faithful and so wonderful to take the journey with me. But the fact is, people just don't have the same margin they used to have. It's just not available. But we still want everyone to get the information. You know how people do it now? Podcasts. On the web, on the internet, in different avenues. They can listen while they're running. They can do it while they're bathing, getting ready in the morning. And we need to be able to pivot to impart information in a new way. And guess what if we do? Not just these women will get it, not just you, but women all over the globe. Sorry, my earring, my bad. I like big earrings. So we will no longer be meeting in small groups, which I love. But to meet for 14 weeks and have to sign up and have homework and do the lectures and go to small groups is a really big buy-in for millennials. I mean, we're lucky if they go to the same coffee shop twice. So we're going to do things a little bit different. What we probably will be doing is meeting quarterly, 4 to 6 week sessions, and they will still have the Word of God. We will still have teaching, and we will still have worship, but we want to find more organic ways to interact. So probably SOPO is going to look different, and we're going to have mentors in there that are available. If young ladies want to just make a list of questions, how do I do this? You know what? Okay, it's women, so I can say this, because I've read that the women want to have more topics about women. When Skip and I were first married, and maybe the church was 5 years old, I thought, you know what, I'll open a shingle and do counseling for women. Maybe that's my step into working with women. And all the women who came in were telling me, I have a really hard time with sex. Oh, I don't know how to reach climax. And I'm like, I am not a sex therapist. And so this went on and on. And I was like, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. You know, I wasn't equipped for this. I mean, I have a healthy sex life with my husband, but I wasn't ready to share that with everybody. Maybe we just need to open up Solomon's porch that some of you are available and say, well, I can help you with that, or maybe not that, but I don't know. You know, I had one gal who is very high up in the ministry ladder that is a millennial, and she said, do you think you could just show us how to sew on a button and do a hem? I mean, these are the kind of things ladies ask me. So SOPO might look different, and the hub, we might offer things like how to meal plan, how to live on a budget, how to whatever it is, all the stuff that we're like, can I have some life hacks? I just need a little help. Help a girl out. Whatever it might be. And then also we recognize that you all work And a lot of people have a side hustle anymore. You all know what a side hustle is. Like, I'm making money this way. However, I got to make it. It's got to come in here somehow. What if we were women who were for women and wanted women to succeed, and we all helped each other succeed over there? And some of us could say, you never done real estate? Let me tell you what it's like. You know, let me help you out with that. You need to incorporate? Well, this is what it looks like to incorporate, or whatever it is, that we could really help you go to your next level. Because I want you to be at your next level. Our worship is incredible. But you know what I long for? More gifts of the Holy Spirit shared openly and corporately. When we used to go to our retreats, we always had this afterglow time where women could practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we need more of that. I want the Spirit to fall on us. Amen? And so, it's scary. We might have to take the lid off a little bit. But you know, God's not the God of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I was shocked when last week I shared with you in the morning and evening how many of you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and half of you had not. You know why you can't do what you want to do and you're not running the race and you're not apprehending and you're not getting closer? You don't have the power, because the power is in the Holy Spirit. And so we need that dynamic in our lives. And this podium will be full of godly instruction leading to a relationship with Jesus Christ and the God of the universe. And you know what? I'm tired of the world telling me who God is, because I know who God is. But I think if the women knew him more deeply, more radically than they currently do, it would blow their minds. If they see God face to face, it's one thing to know God's word. It's another thing to know the God of the word. And I want this generation to know God, not just about him. So when you have this resolute evaluation and you're dissatisfied, there are some knots that I want to tie in the rope to help you understand. What Paul was dissatisfied is that he had not attained. It means to get a hold of and seize violently. He's admitting he had not arrived yet. That he had something there, and he said, but I want to grasp it, I want to apprehend it. He knows he's got a tiger by the tail, and he doesn't want to let go. He hadn't attained it yet, and he was not perfect, not perfected. Anyone perfect here? Perfect means complete or accomplished or mature. I got to tell you, ladies, I don't care how gray your hair is, you are not mature to ripening status where God says it's complete. Because if you were, I think he'd just take you home. He's left you here because you have something to do. The best people I know in the world will readily admit their imperfections and confess that they still have growth in their character, or more obedience to the call in their life. Billy Graham, till the day he died, I'm just a simple preacher. What? You preach to more people in the whole world. But he didn't feel perfect. You know what Paul is saying? It's not perfection, but it's progress. We all need to make progress, and maybe I need just to shake you up today and say, let's make progress. Next step, ladies, next step. What is the next step in Christ? And the third knot is to not have apprehended. He says, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. That is horrible English, but it's really good Greek. And what it really means is arrested. Remember, Paul was on the road of Damascus breathing threats, and he was going to arrest the new Christians. Instead, God knocked him off his horse and arrested Paul. And said, I've got a job for you. Guess what? You can go preach to the Gentiles. The very people he didn't like. When is the last time you preached the gospel? When is the last time you shared with a neighbor, a friend, or a coworker because you have not laid hold of all there is? And we need to lay hold of the next generation. And ladies, you are fit, but it may be time to do something new. I want to say this to those of us who are silver, but you may not know. Only our hairdresser knows for sure. Isaiah 46:4 says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." He is not done with you yet. There is more to do. So that's that resolute evaluation. Evaluate. What do you want, gals? Do you want more? Because he wants to give you more. Number two is a radical elimination. He says, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." One thing. You know the original language where it says, "One thing I do"? I do's not in it. So you know what it is? One thing. One thing. One thing. Multitasking ladies. One thing. I know you've got it in the crock pot, you're on the phone, and the kids are doing homework, but one thing, God wants you to do one thing. It's like spiritual OCD, which I kind of lean toward anyway. Ladies, only one thing matters. Only one thing counts. Only one thing will be rewarded, and that's your pursuit of Christ. And there are plenty of single-minded saints. David in Psalm 27, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." The rich young ruler, Jesus said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me." Are you following him? Following hard after him? And then Mary and Martha, the whole squabble when Jesus was there, and Jesus said, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that one thing." So we need this elimination of other things that clutter our lives, and that may be forgetting the things that are behind. And that's hard, because we may be forgetting some of the things in the history of she. But one of the axioms of Calvary Albuquerque is love the past, live the future. We don't want to be stuck in the past. We want to live the future. Now, the past is full of wonderful things. But the Jews were hindered of entering the promised land when they left Egypt. Because remember, we used to have leeks and onions. We used to do homework. It used to be that when we were there, we had pots of flesh. It may be different, but you got to let it go. Did they remember that those old days had bondage as well? And they were slaves and they were making bricks out of mud? It's been said, you can't make it to second base while you keep your foot on first. And I want to run the bases, girl. I'm going to run the races, and I'm going to wait till I come home, and he can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to be stuck on first. Amen? Let's take the next step. You know what? You are more than your past mistakes. So get over it. Move on. Let the Lord touch it and heal it. This society is so obsessed with the past. We drudge it up, we relive it, we flounder hopelessly. We blame others, or we say, "Well, it's just my temperament. It's my genetics, man. I'm Irish. I'm always angry." Whatever the excuse is, forgetting the past isn't done by mental, "I forget the past, I forget the past, I forget the past." You know what it's done by? Repentance in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what takes care of your past. The author of Hebrews said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." You may be a sinner, but you're a forgiven sinner. Amen. Old wine will always taste better. Can't help it. It's vintage, man. It's been sitting there for a while, and everybody knows it's more expensive if you want the vintage stuff. I don't drink wine, so I'm just telling you what I've heard. But new wine is needed for the Spirit to flow. And if we want new wine that may taste different, not better, we're going to have to make some new wineskins. And you know what? It even happened for the children of Israel. Remember when we studied Nehemiah and Ezra, and they went and built the new temple, and a lot of people were excited, but the old dudes cried. You know why they cried? It wasn't like the old temple. But you know what? A whole new generation came to it and repented and followed God, and it was revival in those days, and that's what I want. And I hope you want it too. So you need to make some radical eliminations. Finally, relentless elevation. Get this. Reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This sounds like an athlete straining to come across the line, right? The Kentucky Derby, that poor horse. But he didn't get it. It's what we need to do, reaching forward, straining toward our running terms of an athlete. You gals, I don't care if you have to slide into home with bloody knees. You need to get it, girl. That's what it's saying. It denotes agony of the final effort to complete the last mile. I don't know if it is the last mile, but it's going to take some effort, right? And it says that you're reaching forward for things ahead. Do you know what things ahead meant? It didn't mean heaven. It meant the next earthly goal, like a hurdle. God may put some hurdles in front of us, but we're going to jump them. Until we are home to be with him. David Livingstone, one of the great missionaries of all time, was asked, "Where are you ready to go now?" He said, "I'm ready to go anywhere, provided it's forward." Me too. I'm ready to go anywhere as long as it's forward. Look, I told you, contemporary Christian culture has distorted God into their own image. I really don't like it when non-believers tell me what my God is. When they tell me, if God was a God of love, I'm like, do you even know the God of love? I am so tired of it, and it's time to defend his character in this culture, and your young gals are being ripped off by it. I believe an ounce of his presence is more powerful than a pound of activity. And I think that if this generation could just see God face to face, it would change everything. Think about Isaiah, the prophet. King Uzziah died. Bummer. The world was spinning out of control. He said, "The year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple, and he is overwhelmed. He sees angels singing." And his response in verse 5 of Isaiah 6, "Woe is me, I cried. I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." You know what? We don't have to tell the gals what's wrong. They just need to see God in his glory and know his holiness and love him, and all those things will be burned away. And it says that an angel took a coal and touched the tongue of Isaiah. Oh, that God would touch our tongues, that we would see him. So our first session, our first quarterly session, will be 4 weeks in September. And we're going to study the attributes of God, the Old Testament God. Who is God? Oh, look, I forgot we had a poster. And so we will be studying who God is. The first one we'll be studying is that he's incomparable. He is self-existent and sovereign. The second one is he's untamable. He is holy, holy, holy. The third one will be he's indescribable because he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. That's the kind of God we serve. And the final one, we will study that he is unchangeable. Times may change, but God does not change. And that speaks of his immutability. So the truth is, I don't know what the future holds. But I know who holds the future, right? And he's never failed me in 41 years. 41 years I've been following hard after him, and I have never been disappointed. And you know what? I'm a risk taker at heart. I left the comforts of my family in Michigan to go to California because Chuck Smith was there and he taught the Word of God, and that's where I was going. Now, I'm glad that's all he told me, because I'm sure there's other people teaching the Word of God, but that's where I went. And then when I was in California, I heard there was this organization called Youth with a Mission, and you could seek God and live in community, and you could really know God. So I went to Hawaii. I always say that Calvary's taught me to love God's Word. YWAM taught me to love God. Well, I'm going into a YWAM moment, ladies. I want to love God, and I want to love him with you. And then finally from Hawaii, there was this guy named Skip Heitzig that was going to move to New Mexico. And I took the risk of leaving that organization to marry Skip Heitzig and come here. It's all worked out okay. So I have to believe the future will be okay too, because big risks get big rewards. Amen? So will you join me on the journey? You want to take a risk? You want to see Jesus show up to a new generation with his word, with his love, with his will? Because I do. But the fact is, ladies, they might not come if you don't invite them. You all have sisters and daughters and granddaughters and nieces, neighbors. You see women who are floundering, and they could be here with us. We could say, like at the end of Sheology, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. That's what I'm praying for the future. If you have not signed up to come on Saturday for our spring gathering, this is a newer expression of Sheology. It is when actually the Sheology website will go up, and the Sheology Instagram, and some of the new innovations, and I will be sharing more about the future at that. So if you haven't signed up, you can get tickets. Is Parchments open tonight, Tracy? So you can go over to Parchments, and we did a Mother's Day special that you can get two tickets for $40. So it was up to 25, and that way if you buy two tickets, you can get a deal. And I wish you would come so that you can be a part of this exciting purpose to bridge the gap. And Tracy's going to come up now.
You can clap for that. Well, we just wanted to give this to Lenya. Isn't that beautiful?
Look how pretty.
I just love this. Matches your lipstick.
Like, those might be the happiest flowers I've ever seen. They are so perky.
Can we just give her a round of applause? It's not an easy thing to be the leader of such a large ministry.
Love it.
And to have the courage to say, we're turning this ship in a different direction, and just pray that we all stay on and don't go the other direction.
Man overboard! Woman overboard!
Yeah. So we're encouraged and we're excited that you're going to come with us. And I just want to take a second to pray over what the Lord has for us. So if you would join me, I would appreciate that. We're going to pray over Lenya. Lord, we just thank you for Lenya and for her courage and for her vision and for her desire to reach every single generation of women. Lord, we as women, we know that we impact the world. We impact our families and we impact our children. And so, Lord, we just look for those godly young women to come and for those silver/saints to come and partner with them. And we kind of want to change ministry here.
Yes.
And we want to glorify you, first of all, Lord. This has not been something we've decided on a whim. Mm-hmm. It has been in prayer, mm-hmm. on our knees, mm-hmm. before you. So please, Lord, we just ask for a blessing over Lenya, over this ministry, and we want to grow it. And we want to grow it so big that Albuquerque notices, mm-hmm. and we get the women back into the Word of God. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so we would like to invite you to come and line up over here. You can start now if you have a testimony, something that you would like to say about
the last semester or the last 30 years. There's a few of you. Terry, how long have you been around? Oh, my goodness. So, you know what? And there are some of you that have been with us for the long haul. And I just pray that God will give you the second wind. And it will be like Joshua and Caleb.
Give us this mountain. And if you can't decide, I think it's a long time. If you don't know. So please line up. We're going to have a time of testimony and then a little bit of announcements and then a little bit of fellowship. So come over and I will hand over the mic.
Okay. This morning it was so cool. A woman got up and shared that she's with U-Turn for Christ and she's come the last two semesters and God delivered her from drugs and alcohol and she's 10 months clean. And boy, did we weep. And boy, do we want to see her continue to walk that way. So anything you guys want to share and testify of God, this is really all about him. So Felicia, you're going to start us off?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Gosh, this is weird. I've been coming to She for many years. Kind of got a trademark personality of I'm the one that's going to dance. I'm a hugger, not as much as Mama Karina, but I'm a hugger. I have connected with so many ladies in the time that I've been, and I can't tell you how long. I was gone for a while and I came back, but I have connected with so many ladies just by being in hospitality, being in different small groups, and dancing around the auditorium. I always figured it was my mission from God to spread his love.
Amen.
And to be his joy bomb. His love pours through me in my smile to you, in my hugs, and in my dancing feet. And I think my heart is really sad that I won't see all of you guys on a regular basis. I've been touched so much by each and every one of you. You've helped me grow, and you've helped me become stronger in my walk. I'm not there yet. That's why I'm still here. But I want to thank you, each and every one of you, for helping as I've lived this life. I haven't got along with everybody. I'm not perfect. I know, shocking, right? But everybody that I've met has touched me because they've allowed themselves to be vulnerable and to share, and to connect. So even though we might not have this on Tuesdays, don't forget to reach out and touch someone. No, I'm not an AT&T commercial. Somebody might need your smile, your hug. That might be the only smile or hug they get in a day, a week, or a month. So don't hesitate to share it. You're God's representative of His love.
Thank you, Felicia. Thank you. I know. Well, love is a good thing, and we want to keep love going on forever. And that's what some of the gals shared earlier this morning is one gal came that's been here the last 2 years, and she said, I've been so nervous, and are you going to come up? Oh, okay. And that she's been so nervous, and she said she knows it's been hard to get to know ladies, and that it's not you, but she said, I've been abused my whole life, and so this is her first chance coming out. And to not be in an abusive environment and in a safe space. So, anyway, Yvonne.
Lenya, I want to thank you. For those of you who know me, you know that I've gone through cancer. And when we're going through the names of God, I received a call from you. I appreciate it so much. I received so many prayers. I just thank you for this ministry. I thank you for all these ladies. And I just pray the new venture God has in store for us is bigger and greater blessing for all the women.
Amen. Thank you. You know, you want to say something, so it would be helpful if you all came down and just lined up and not come up one at a time like popcorn.
Hi. I've been coming here, I don't know exactly how long.
Oh, wow.
My daughter's 19, and I started coming to the women's ministry when she was 8 months old. So I've been in it ever since and have grown a lot and have walked through so much through my life. And each study was very different and taught me something different. You've always been there for me, whether you know it or not. I didn't always come to you, but you've taught me so much. I went through losing babies to losing my dad and marital problems, stepchildren problems with blended families, and I'm the quiet one a lot of times, but I'm a prayer warrior. I do pray on my runs. When I run, I pray in the car on my way to work. I pray over you guys, every single one of you, and I've met so many friends, and I just want to thank you so much, Lenya, for all that you do for the ministry. You've been a big, big part of my life, and I am going to miss this, but I'm here for you too.
Amen. We'll be back in September. It will just be 4 weeks instead of 14 weeks, and it's going to look different, but it's going to be amazing. So don't be discouraged. Okay, Terry. The stairs are really hard to navigate, too. I know. Trust me.
Hello. I'm Terry. I sit in the front row, so she goes, Terry.
Mm-hmm. I can't help it.
I have to say, I have been coming to this church for many, many years. I really don't know how long. And I was introduced by some people. I used to work at Price Club. And so people would say, oh, you should go to Calvary. There's this amazing... And then pretty soon my cousin's wife introduced me to the Bible study. And I came to Diane Decker's group. We had lunch today. It was amazing. And we were talking about this Bible study and how it's changed over the years, how it's evolved over the years, and how it's grown over the years. And I think that that's what we need to remember, is that it has changed, it has evolved, and I think that's what we're talking about right now. So I think that it would be easy for some people to get a little discouraged about change, because you know what, studies have been done that human beings don't typically like change. But come, because you know what? God has changed all of us. God has done something for all of us. God has done amazing things for me. This church, this ministry, the ladies in this ministry have done so much for me that I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't been part of this ministry, if I hadn't been part of this church, and if God hadn't called me to serve, and if God hadn't called me to live the life that He's wanted for me.
Amen.
I had the loss of my daughter when she was 20. And people ask me, well, how do you do that? How do you continue to live your life? I do it because I have God in my life.
That's right.
And this is what we need to teach these women, these young women, middle-aged women, older women, that we can only live our lives if we have God in our lives.
That's right.
So don't forget that.
Amen. And we'll get more of Him. I pray we get more and more of Him. Dean, trust me, I'm always afraid I'm going to stumble on those stairs.
Wouldn't that have been great?
Is this the... Go ahead.
No, not at all. So I wanted to kind of voice the same thing, that I'm hearing a lot of sorrow about the past, but I work with a millennial or two, and these are really bright and upcoming and fast-paced women.
Yes.
And they have a lot to say about being disappointed in what's been left for them. And so as I'm hearing Lenya's message tonight, I was super excited, because for me, 4 nights is a lot easier than committing to 6 weeks. And 4 nights would be a lot easier to get one of my millennial friends to come with me. And having a way to reach out to them through multimedia online is brilliant. That's all they want to do. That's how they communicate, learn, and do research. So I'm hoping that this is also a message to me and a new way for me to reach out and maybe minister in my own life in a way that I would never have expected. So let's embrace it. Let's take it on and take on that challenge and look at it, because I bet you we're going to find out that this is pretty neat, a whole new thing to try.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. It's true. Anyone else? If not, we're going to have coffee and treats. So, okay, see, now they pop when you tell them it's over. Okay, there we go.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Violeta, and I've been attending Calvary since 2012. I came from California, and when I came to Albuquerque, it wasn't a good time in my life. My husband had been deported, for those of you who know, and have been praying for me, thank you. And we've lived like this since then. So it's been a relationship that it's had its happy moments, its sad moments. But actually, Calvary has been the place where I come whenever I need God.
It's good.
And your relationship has always been a role model to me. And I have hope, and I wait in the Lord that one day circumstances will change and I will be able to be with my husband.
Amen.
For the past year, it's been just so amazing to me. I turned 50 this year, and I got a new job, and God has blessed me immensely. And through Calvary, I've been able to attend She Ministry since I came to California, and the Connect group. So ladies, whenever you feel down, whenever you feel like you can't go anymore, this is where you need to be.
Amen.
My church has been who saved me from anxiety, from depression.
Thank you, Lord.
From feeling that I can't go anymore.
Amen.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
Oh, thank you for putting a face on deportation and putting a face on the crisis that we face. Oops, told you they're dangerous. You can't see them, man. And when I come up here, the lights are down.
Thank you. My daughter, Sherry, leads one of the small groups. So I've been coming to be supportive of my daughter. And I just want to give a little praise report about our small group. We were talking about Naomi and the fact that her and Ruth were widows.
Mm-hmm.
And we all knew widows that needed to know that God loved them.
Amen.
So we decided as a group to do something for the widows in our community. There happened to be a widow that I used to take to doctor's appointments. Anyway, I'd become friends with her. And she just had a hip replacement. And she goes to church occasionally. She knows there's a God, but she doesn't believe in Jesus. And she doesn't really believe that Jesus loved her because her husband died.
Sure.
She lived on Hawaii, and her all her business got wiped out by a tsunami.
Oh.
And so she's been a widow for over 20 years, and she just needed to know that God loves her.
So good.
And so we all got together and contributed what we could, made a little Easter basket for four different widows, and all the reports have said that they've really been touched by our generosity.
Praise the Lord.
From total strangers. And my friend that I've been witnessing to, she used to kind of cringe when I would talk to her about God.
Yes.
And so I just felt like God told me, quit talking to her and just show her God's love.
Amen.
And so I just keep coming by, keep taking her to lunch, spending time with her. Anyway, long and short of it all, when she got the basket, she was overwhelmed. And she said, I have to meet these people.
Oh.
I brought her in a wheelchair last Tuesday night to our small group. And she had to meet every lady and talk to them and thank them and give them some cookies. So God is good. And Sherry's neighbors that she gave her baskets to also said, nobody has ever done anything this nice for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
So just sharing God's love, not just what we get,
that's
but
right.
what we give
that's
to
right.
our community really makes a difference.
Oh, man, I love that with all my heart and soul. We should be winners. We should be loving, and we could love people all the way to church and to Christ and into heaven. And I love that. So, so good. Are you shaking? Are you like, hands are shaking? No, don't shake.
Hi, I'm Mariah. I'm a millennial.
Yay!
I've been going to Calvary since kindergarten. But I've signed up for 3 semesters of ladies, but I haven't, I've only gone to like one class and then I never kept going. This is the first semester that I came every single Tuesday.
And yay!
I thank Renee Zamora for that.
Aww.
She's awesome. I've always been a Christian and had my faith, and I've been with my boyfriend for about 6 years, and we actually got engaged in November.
Congratulations.
We're getting a house, and oh, sorry.
Take your time.
I don't even know how I'm crying. And I just felt so compelled to. I just wanted to be better. I just want God to be proud of me. So I actually told my fiance that I don't want to move in till we're married. So we're actually... and he actually attends here too, and he was very okay with it. And so we're going to get married in a court just for now. Just to,
nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Paul would agree with it. Don't burn in your sin. And you're lost.
As long as God's proud of me, that's all that matters. I'll have a wedding next year, a traditional wedding. And so it's just been, it's been different, but I'm just, I haven't prayed so much in my whole life. And so I'm just really appreciative of you, and I'm excited to see where it goes. So.
Oh, thank you. We're so proud of her. Amen. So good. Yeah, you got that.
Oh, my name's Yolanda. I was born and raised here, so I know a lot about Albuquerque. I've gone through a lot of things in my life that should have torn me from God. When I was about 5, I saw somebody die in a drive-by, and that's that image is still mm-hmm. with me. I believe I was molested as a child, and that made me feel like a woman's worth was just, you know, sex, and that's all we're here for, and, you know, and I got into things I shouldn't have. But coming to Calvary, I remember my dad used to play on the radio The Connection, like that, make a connection
at the foot of the cross.
I love that song. But that helped me know kind of who God is. I was raised Catholic and honestly thought you're the Holy Spirit's in you if you drink the holy water. It's not true. But I remember coming here, and I remember Skip talking about how he helped Moses gather those people with manna. I've never heard of that. I never knew that, you know, they didn't have any cuts, blisters for 40 years. And that really opened my eyes to know that God is great. And with Lena, thank you. You helped me know who God is. You know,
praise the Lord.
I never knew, you know, even thought to know what God ate. And I remember that lesson where, you know, we were doing recipes.
Yes! And two people have brought that up. That was my favorite semester.
I loved it. You know, just knowing what he ate and getting to know him. And that helped me know myself. And I just love this so much. So I am for you. I think I'm a, I can't say the word,
millennial. I'm one of those. No, I'm not.
So thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I thought that was really fun cooking. It was a blast to me. They'll never do it again because it was so much work, but it was worth it.
Okay, so I am another millennial, and my name is Sabrina, and I just wanted to say that it's been so nice getting to come to the Bible study and getting to meet so many great women and just be a part of this. But I'd also like to say that I've been a part of a college-only small group and college-only connect group, and I've seen them die out. And so I see the problem, and I see a need for a solution. And so even though I've enjoyed what we have now, there is a need, and I'm excited. And for the older women who are maybe kind of feeling like, well, maybe this isn't my place anymore, well, I would say this
even
is
more.
Even more so more your place, because
yes.
We millennials need you guys to come alongside of us,
yes.
And teach us and pray for us and help us grow. So
thank you.
And just to be our friends. So yeah, looking forward to next month.
So most of the millennials I've talked to, they go, we don't even know how to find mentors. We keep thinking you're going to come up and tell us you want me to mentor you. And I was like, you know, sometimes you have not because you ask not. And so some of that is just really awkward. So we want to create a different environment where we can kind of organically let that happen. So pray for us. I'm not saying we have all the answers, but we are asking the questions. That's for sure. Love your shirt.
Hi, my name's Alyssa. I've been coming like 3 or 4 years, but this Bible study, God really changed me. He brought me back to him through this. And I grew up in church, but I wasn't living a life pleasing to the Lord. And so being in the Word every week just brought me back to him, and he's catapulted my life since then. It was just amazing, and I'm really excited for the new things because I see a need. I have coworkers who are millennials, and they grew up in church, and they're prodigals, and so I'm just really excited for this. And I was mentored in our mentorship program, so we do need you ladies, your older ladies, for your guidance and your wisdom, and we love you, and I thank you for that. And I've been mentored by so many ladies here, and so I just thank you all, and I just thank you, Jesus, for your love.
I always see you with Terry. Do you make biscuit Cheetos with her? Terry's the biscuit Cheeto queen. Not yet? All right, maybe this winter we can come make biscuit Cheetos, Terry. That's an open invitation now. She posts them day after day. I'm like, how do I get one of those?
Hi, I'm Angie, and I've been here since 2005 in Albuquerque. We moved out here from California. And She Ministry is what made a huge church small by going to the small groups. And it gave me plenty of opportunity to serve. And I just love so many ladies that I've met through this ministry. And I am so excited about this next phase. I want to get to know the younger women. And if I can do it, and I'm old, you guys can do it. And I'm very excited because I want you to teach me how to reach out to them. So I'm excited. And look at what she's done with Reload Love. Can she challenge this? Yes.
Thank you.